morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman, and we find ourselves at Cardam this morning with the executive director of this recycling center, Jan Hamilton. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
When people come to visit me in this area, I tell them we're going to go to see Cardam, and I describe what Cardam is, and they say, wait, it's my vacation. You're going to take me to the dump? And I say, well, it's not really a dump. You just got to go see it. So for those who have not had strange hosts such as me, well, tell us about Cardam. If you just dropped in from another planet, what would Cardam be?
Dropped in from another planet? It depends on how strange the planet is.
That's true.
I guess. Cardam has quite the reputation. And yes, we get lots and lots of people who come and bring their out-of-town visitors to Cardam. That's pretty standard, actually, because Cardam is a really interesting place. It's not just a recycling center. It's also a reuse store, and we also run the county transfer station. So it's pretty much one-stop shopping when you clean out your garage or want to move away and leave everything behind. You can pretty much do the whole spiel there. And so when you get here, there's everything you can imagine for sale, and everything you can imagine we can recycle, and the tiny little bit that's left goes in the trash.
On your website, because it mentions the history and starting off as a transfer station and taking over from the county, it does refer to the word dump. It's there on the website for all to see. And I guess that speaks to the changes we have in our attitude toward the things we've thrown away in the last generation, let's say.
Yeah, it's been a lot of changes. I think this, like lots of towns, lots of small towns had a city dump or a county dump, and you'd go out there and they would just be indiscriminately throwing anything that you wanted to into the dump, and it would be full of rats and seagulls and open burning, not a very healthful, environmentally conscious way of dealing with solid waste. And Cardam is on the site that was once the dump in Manzanita. And so a lot of people still refer to it as the dump. It doesn't look much like a dump anymore, and it's actually a pretty fun place to go. We do lots of promoting creative reuse of materials, and it's a pretty fun place.
Yeah, we'll get to one of those fun ones like the trash bash in just a bit. But what was that change? Where was that point at which we decided, we just can't keep on throwing stuff in a hole and covering it up?
That's been a long process, and the change, I think, as people become more and more environmentally conscious and responsible, you see people start to understand. Maybe you've seen some of the bumper stickers that say, throw it away. There is no away. People start understanding that we don't have endless amount of space to be trashing our earth and throwing materials into a landfill, and that we're really polluting our water and our air and our land by having landfills. And so as we look at becoming recycling as much as possible, reusing as much as possible, reducing our consumption so that we don't pollute the earth. And so facilities like Cardam, and there aren't many, we're pretty unique, but recycling centers, the consciousness that has changed radically over the years, and as people become more aware.
It's a real leap of faith, though. I would imagine people who started Cardam, they had to think, if we're going to make this transition, we have to have people who are going to, in the community, who are going to follow us along on this journey.
A pretty brave little band of concerned citizens put this together, and they really just started recycling pretty much just in a little small area across from the fire department. They were recycling in an old bus and a number of other, it just steadily grew. And it's a pretty unique situation in that we've evolved into a public-private partnership where we actually are located on county property and run the county transfer station, but we are a nonprofit organization. And Cardam is a very unique organization in that way, that we are mission-driven. We are looking at, we want to divert as much as we possibly can out of the landfill and recycle, reuse as much as we possibly can. And now we're moving toward also asking people to reduce and thinking lots more about getting our community to zero waste. As a matter of fact, our new mission is leading our community to zero waste. So that is a very unusual situation in that we are actually running the county transfer station, which is what everybody calls the dump. And we do that intentionally, have that nonprofit right there at the dump. We do that intentionally so that we can divert as much as possible. We literally ask people when they bring their stuff to trash, What have you got in there that we could, you know, how can we save you some money? Let's pull out the cardboard and the metals and the plastics and the glass and on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden they have a tiny little bit of trash instead of that huge big load they came in with.
Well, what's the relationship then with the county? They provided the land, but do you pay them? Do they pay you? How's that all work?
The land is owned by the county. The facility is theirs, and we are the franchisee. So we are the operator of the county transfer station as a franchisee, and we are responsible for operating and all the maintenance and the expense of the operations of it. And the county permits us to be here. And so we have regulations that we need to go by so that we follow certain rules. And we are permitted then also by the DEQ in terms of what we can and can't do on the site because we are a transfer station. But otherwise, we follow our mission as a nonprofit organization.
Well, on the dump side of things, I come up here with my bag of truly junk. You've helped me sort out all the recyclables, and I hand over my $5 or whatever it might be. What happens both to the material and to the money?
The material at this point, if it's truly trash, the stuff that's left after we've recycled and reused every single thing we possibly can, the stuff that's left over is trash, and it is actually hauled in containers. That's why we're called a transfer station, so we are actually transferring. Instead of having a dump here, we're transferring the materials.
There's no pit out there in the back.
There's no pit in the back.
Right.
So we are literally putting them then in metal boxes. They're roll-off boxes that go to... first they stage to Tillamook, and then they go to Coffin Butte, the huge big landfill. And we are literally, by the landfill, we're literally producing gases that offset electricity.
Really?
The landfill's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the material that, you know, you go and sort things out, or people up here can bring their brown glass and their green glass and their clear glass and their cardboard and the like. And then what happens to that material?
We take in more different types of recycling than just about anybody in the state. We have at this site, we have 34 different recyclables that we take in for free. There's no charge whatsoever. It includes cardboard, grayboard, all kinds of paper, all kinds of like juice boxes, milk cartons, glass, plastics, every imaginable thing, corks, metal caps. I mean, it goes on and on and on, things that we would recycle. All of those things have a market and a purpose. We have repurposed them. For some of them, it would be, like, say, for instance, our paper would be made back into other paper or other cardboard boxes. Bottles would be remade into more glass bottles. They get shipped to their various marketplaces. Some of the things stay here in our area and are being used by artists. For instance, corks, wine bottle corks. You know, we sell to the local artists to make things from that sort of thing.
Our guest this morning is Jan Hamilton, the executive director of Cardam in the north of Tillamook County, just in Manzanita. Well, not in Manzanita, but it's part of the growth.
The urban growth
urban
boundary.
Urban growth. There you got me.
We're right between Nehalem and Manzanita.
Right. Now, I read that when the economy started to tank, the market for recyclables was really affected in a serious way. Did that affect you?
Yes, absolutely. And it affected all recycling every place. In 2008, in October, at the same time that the economy tanked and everybody was so disturbed by what was going on in the stock market, it affects recycling because recycling, all those recyclable materials are really raw materials that people make goods from. And so if manufacturing slows down or stops, then there is no call for those goods. And it was a global problem that happened right at the same time. And literally we didn't have a place to ship our materials, and neither did anybody else. There were bales of materials sitting on docks and in ships and in yards for months and months when we couldn't ship anything. It was a little unnerving, and a lot of recycling business companies went out of business.
Did the backlog, has it subsided? Is it not back to normal, but is it tolerable now?
It's tolerable, and it was tolerable for us. We didn't stop shipping. We did find places to send all of our stuff, and we kept taking all of the things that we took before because we are mission-driven. As I said before, it's our goal is to get things things even at a loss, and we ship things at a loss and continue to recycle them even at a loss because it was important to get those materials recycled and not put them in the trash. And we are also required by the DEQ not to put them in the trash. We have an agreement. Things have gotten better since that tough time, so that was a pretty hard year. But their market is still pretty volatile, and we aren't really seeing any major change yet. And so it's a slow to recovery. It will recover again with the economy. It's directly tied.
And there must be an issue around here of hazardous waste, because a lot of the stuff that comes in, or at least some of it, has got to be, if not just downright toxic, at least not something you want to spend a lot of time with.
Household hazardous waste, we've had an event, would be a one-day event in which we would collect household hazardous waste for free. That would include pesticides, chemicals, household chemicals, cleaning agents, paint, solvents, those kinds of things, bad gasoline, gas and oil mix, I mean gas and water mix, that kind of, or those kind of contaminants. We have stopped doing those because the county has decided that it would be more efficient to have a permanent facility in Tillamook. And that, unfortunately, has taken a little longer than they had hoped, and it's about a year behind. And so we're not really sure how that's going to turn out, but we're hoping that they'll get up and going soon, and then that will be the place where the people in Tillamook County can take their household hazardous waste. But we will not be collecting it on this site.
I would think part of what Cardinal would be all about, either informally or formally, we have something of an educational mission to try to communicate to the public, I guess, a certain ethic. I mean, I think, for example, people who think, well, I need to buy a more fuel-efficient car. Well, yes, but, of course, the manufacturer of that car has its own footprint, and maybe, depending on the circumstances, keeping something old and keeping it going might be more advantageous. Depends on the item, of course, but that's all part of self-education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And does Cardam get involved with that at all?
It's very interesting that you ask. We're right in the process. We've just gone through a 5-year master plan, which addresses increasing our facility, and we're now looking at we're in the last year of our strategic plan and writing a new strategic plan, and looking at, we've made such huge changes in our facility. If you've been up here lately, you'll see, you know, we're really upgrading and making it better. And now the next step is, now that we've increased our capacity and setting ourselves up to be able to tolerate, accommodate is the better word, accommodate the growth that we expect, is the next stage is education and outreach, and really spending the time getting people to understand, why should you recycle? Why should you reuse things? Why should you hang on to that old car until it, you know, won't go anymore, you know, as opposed to always buying new? What does it mean? And there's a lot of controversy about that, of course, because, you know, buy new because you want to support the economy, but you also want to look at, what does it mean to buy more materials, you know, instead of reusing the old stuff? We really promote reuse, creative reuse of materials, and use whatever you can over and over again and find another use for it rather than just throw it away.
Yeah,
there is no way.
I can't tell you how many friends of mine, people I've gone into their home and I say, oh, that's neat. What's that? And I got it at Cardam, you know, and it's just a very casual thing. In fact, I think maybe that's the bumper sticker. I got it at Cardam.
Yeah.
This is something I just hear over and over again. And you could just wander around here and just come across neat stuff and useful things too. But I have to ask you, there have to be times when you talk to friends and you say something like, you got to hear what somebody brought in today. I mean, there has to be just really
there's lots of odd things.
So
lots
give me,
of great
give me your best
stories.
Shot.
Oh, best shot. No, I can't.
No.
I've had lots of, one of the first that comes to mind just was fun for me was when I moved into a new place a couple of years ago. My entire house is furnished from Cardam, and I don't have much in there that wasn't. And I had a couple of friends who said they wanted to come over and were interested in doing some kind of housewarming gift, and they wanted to see what I had first, and they were going to get me a gift. I had a friend came in the door, and I had a very unpleasant-looking couch that was awesome couch, beautiful, really comfy, great couch, but unattractive. bad colors. She walked in the door and she just started laughing and laughing and laughing and went right back out the door, was gone 15 minutes and came in with a slipcover. It was her couch. Then I had gotten a cardamom and, and she'd taken it in and donated it, and she had the slipcover that would change the color. And so that was a great housewarming gift.
That's perfect. Yeah. I was over at some friends who were just finishing building a house, and they showed me this. It appears to be a practically new-looking range stove. And they said, I got this at Cardo. Mm-hmm. It was a ridiculous price. I mean, I wish I'd been in line for that.
Mm-hmm.
Who brings in practically brand-new stoves?
That happens all the time, actually. You can find some incredible deals at Cardo because people bring in... sometimes a contractor will come in and say, the woman who's building this house ordered this stove, and now she changed her mind. She wants... stainless instead of white, and so this is extra, and they'll bring it in, and she doesn't want to deal with it, they'll just donate it to Cardam. We've had people bring an entire household full of stuff in. They buy a new house, the house is furnished, they don't want any of the stuff, they bring the entire household in and donate it to Cardam. Amazing things that people will bring in, and sometimes very beautiful decorative things, people's personal art. When someone dies, sometimes the kids will come in and bring their parents things in, and really touching things sometimes. You can find just about anything you've ever wanted shows up sometime at Cardam. And, you know, the joke is always, if you want it, you know, put it out there, it'll show up tomorrow, you know. It's pretty incredible.
Well, you mentioned those as donations, and I'm sure that is not a bad source of income, but it can't be the principal source. And you do some fundraising?
We do a little fundraising. Up until this market crash that we just talked about, our income was, we've been trying very hard to have our operations pay for themselves. And it has been that recycling paid about a third of our income, and the trash paid about a third of our income, and that the thrift store paid about a third of our income. And that was the benchmark, and we aimed at that. After this market crash, trash was down 46% in the
that
last
much.
2 years,
oh,
and our recycling is down. We're just about breaking even with trash and recycling, but the thrift store is actually supporting us. We've increased the size of the store 30%, and we're really asking people to bring in their donations, you know, give us clean, reusable household donations, so that this thrift store can help us. Basically, it subsidizes the recycling at this point.
And on the fun side of things, are things like the spring
fundraising
and trash bash. That's a fun
thing. The trash bash.
Yeah, which isn't until next spring.
Yeah,
spring.
The trash bash is always the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. It was a sort of a thank you to the community for supporting Cardam. It was a party, a potluck that started out, and it grew into a trash art show, and it's evolved into, we've had about 1,000 people each year for the last few years, evolved into a pretty sophisticated trash art show. It's a hung art show that draws lots of people, and a trash and show where people make outfits out of coffee cups or videotape or, you know, anything you can imagine. It's a pretty crazy time. It's always been fun.
A lot of great music there, too.
Good music,
and
food,
time.
And party time.
Party
yeah.
time.
Yep. And it's now a fundraiser for Cardam. And
I was going to ask, yes.
It's our intention to raise money with that event so that we can help keep Cardam afloat. And we're hoping that as we start doing some more fundraising, that we could support a greater outreach and education programs and start doing more of that you're talking about, that we really need to be educating people about the need for reuse, recycling, and more care of the earth.
Well, let's say somebody's listening right now and they're from another part of the state or even another part of the country, and they're saying, you know, we've got to have one of these things. They just don't spring organically out of the ground. What sort of steps should communities who don't have a Cardam think about in order to, you know, maybe little baby steps, and how do you start something like Cardam?
It's amazing that it's a lot harder than it looks. We've had actually a number of communities approach us and ask just for that. The city of Vernonia has been here, their mayor and their city officials and the people who run their transfer station have all been out here and had tours, and we've sat down and talked about what can they do. They want to replicate what we have. We've had some people from Idaho on and on, you know, with people who want to replicate. It's not an easy task in that it's very, very unusual for there to be that private-public partnership that we have here. This was a unique bunch of circumstances that allowed this to happen, and actually some pretty forward-thinking commissioners and city officials who allowed this, you know, to happen, and an amazing community of people, activists who wanted this and who continued to support it. We have an incredible community. For other people to replicate it, I think, you know, come and take a look. We're always happy to talk to people and to support them in doing this, because we think it's a really great way to go.
And what's amazing to me is in a narrow county and a narrow strip of land near the coast, I guess this is maybe not the greatest thing for the carbon footprint, but people go from quite a distance to come and visit and to leave things with you.
Yeah. Yeah, we have actually so many visitors who, I mean, we have a lot of people. I think, I don't know what the statistics are exactly, but someplace around 60 or 70% of our population here are second homeowners, or we call them part-time locals, who live in Portland or Seattle and come here. And those people come back and forth and bring their friends and families, and then those people start also coming. And there's quite a few of those regulars, as well as people from all the way down the coast, Garibaldi and Rockaway, and further south.
Well, that raises an interesting possibility. If the demographics of this area change, baby boomers retire, and we the statistics flip, and we have more, let's say, full-time residents here than part-time, is that going to at all change the way that Cardam operates, or just more of the same?
I think our intention at this point is to, first of all, to increase the participation as much as we possibly can in the existing services as a first step. That our next move, as far as our planning and our intention, would be get more people recycling, get more people thinking about reuse. And once we do that, regardless of what the population is, that really has to be the... Those two things are very, very important to continue. And then the next step past that would be to get people thinking a little more about what are the next things that we can do? What kinds of things can we do to reduce our waste of energy? Can we find uses for the materials that we're shipping to Portland? And can we use them, you know, find ways to reuse them here locally? What could we do a food composting program for our restaurants, for our, you know, for residences?
I was just going to ask about food, because I know some communities are trying to discourage food waste from going into the into the garbage. Mm-hmm. And is that a viable idea? I mean, we certainly do it with our coffee grounds and our orange peels, but what else do we do?
We sell composters here at Cardam, and we encourage people to use them, just home composters. I use one at my house, and lots of other people do, and just compost their own food waste. But we're looking at wanting to do a half a county, you know, all the North County area. It's not fleshed out yet. We're just talking about that, and we're looking to find other organizations or businesses to collaborate with to create a composting program. There are a lot of those kinds of things. Those are the next steps, is really to engage the community and other businesses, other organizations, in all of those materials that we are currently putting into the waste, into the landfill, that we don't need to. Especially something like compost. I mean, food waste is just
plant food.
Yes, and we could be selling compost here locally. We could be providing it for our community gardens. We could, you know, it's a no-brainer. We really need to do that one.
One of the other things that I think about, and I go back and forth on, is biofuels. And I'm one of these people who save up my cooking oil, and when I have a big jug, I bring it here, hoping, I know a few people have picked it up here and use it. But I'm also thinking to myself, you know, in the bigger picture, do we really want food sources being used as fuel sources? And so I'm very conflicted about that. Do we want to turn cornfields into energy sources as opposed to raising food? Do you come down on one side or the other about that?
Well, there's two different ways to look at that, in my opinion. I mean, one of them is looking upstream first and thinking about how to make things better by addressing it before we use it. In any case, whatever it is, it's food or any other thing, the 80% of the waste happens in the manufacturing and production of all of the materials that we use. And so addressing it there as becoming conscious consumers and choosing things wisely, it makes a whole lot more sense. We are engaged at this end, at Cardam, at the other end, and maybe we address 20% of the materials, and you can make a big difference by recycling and reusing. You could make more difference if you address the issue at the front end. So I think that that's the initial response. Some people think that we're enablers. If we, you know, if we're providing recycling and reuse, then people don't have to feel guilty about the fact that they bought the stuff in the first place, whatever it was.
Well, do you think
biofuel is a whole different?
It is. Kind of, it is. And it gets to a bigger question, I guess, of to what extent could this be a self-sustaining community? Is there enough material here that could be recycled to be used both as a food source and maybe not entirely an energy mm-hmm. source? I don't see us all driving around in reused vegetable oil vehicles, but
we do have some people who are doing that, and some mm-hmm. of those people are regularly driving around in their vehicles, and we are collecting veggie oil and taking it by the barrel. We shipped 55-gallon drums of veggie oil today, as a matter of fact, over to a little group of people who are producing biodiesel. And in exchange, we get some things that we need. And some of the byproducts of that process are things like glycerin, and they're making laundry soap out of the glycerin.
Really?
And, you know, those kind of things. So we're looking at all the various ways that you can use all the pieces of it.
Well, that strikes me as just another educational component, because if people get together and say, okay, I've got this material, what can you use it for? You've got this material, what can I use it for? And
that's the point. That's the plan.
Is there an exchange? Mm-hmm. So that's a plan down the road, is to have this sort of idea exchange.
This is where we're going next. Cardam has spent their first decade really just developing the infrastructure so that we can provide a tangible, a way for people to recycle, to reuse, and provide them that. So we're addressing that first piece. The next, we've done that, and the facility is working beautifully. So that next step is, okay, now that we've got that underway, that's the sort of like the low-hanging fruit. We got that one first. And the next one is really engage the community and looking at what can we do to collaborate, how can we cooperate and partner so that we address those issues, and we come together and figure out how can I use that you waste, and how, you know, then you can use what I'm putting off, and, you know, it's coming up with use of the byproducts of the we're looking at all kinds of different possibilities.
It's very exciting.
It is exciting.
And we're in your office right now, and I'm looking out the window and seeing some empty space out there. Is there room for expansion on this site? Should you need to do so? Do you need to do so?
We don't really need to do so. We have a 5-year master plan that we are kind of stalled in the last little phase of. We have 2 or 3 other things to add on the site that we have in the footprint that we already have. We don't see expanding bigger in terms of moving off of our site, but we have space here to accomplish, I think, what we need to do. We have planned it out so that I think the facility will accommodate what's going to happen in the next few years.
A little greater density.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing that we've done is establish new systems so that we're much more efficient, and we can process much, much more than we did in the past. And it's efficient so that we process everything every day, so that the stuff comes in and it gets processed and goes back out.
Well, anyone who's listening in the south part of Tillamook County or in Clatsop County and you haven't been to Cardam, make the drive to the Manzanita area and check out nearly a unique entity around here. And it's a thrill to talk to Jan Hamilton, the executive director. Cardam, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was really good to be here with you.